you have your Bible, look with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Lord's had me on this particular message for a couple of weeks now. First Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Glory to God, but notice that. It said it'll save you and those that hear you. But he started out talking about bodily exercise. He said, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth in this life and in that life to come. But he was talking about exercise, but he said, exercise righteousness. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And I was thinking about how that, how many knows when you don't exercise, you get weak? You know, if you don't exercise, your health goes down. If you just sit in the house, you never walk, never exercise, and you don't do no exercise, your muscles will just deteriorate. You'll get weak, you'll die early. But if you exercise, your physical body will get stronger and you'll be healthier and things will function like they're supposed to, because God made your body for you to use it. And if you don't use it, it just starts kind of going away. Well, the thing of it is, you can understand spiritual things by natural things. And just like there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. You have a spiritual life. The Bible talks about the old man and the new man. It says, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed after the image of him that created him. And so the thing of it is, see, there's a real devil in this world too, but see, sometimes we help the devil by our neglect. You know? But the thing of it is, you can exercise the spiritual man. You can exercise, and this is what he was talking about. He said, till I come, give attendance to prayer, to reading, to, what else did he say here? Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. That's what our brother was talking about. He was exhorting the brother that come by. And you know what? We need exhortation in this hour, because people get discouraged. And you know, when somebody can allow there's actually a gift of exhortation. There's a gift that God gives you to exhort somebody. It's more than just you doing it in your own ability. It's God doing it through you. And he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. And you know, and I think that's talking about the Holy Ghost. I think it's talking about the Holy Ghost, and I think it's talking about gifts and anointings that you have in your life, because the Holy Ghost comes into our life many times when somebody laid hands on you. You know, that somebody would lay hands on you and receive the Holy Ghost. The anointing of God comes into your life like that. But the thing of it is, if we don't realize that this natural man can get stronger than our spiritual man, if we neglect our spiritual man. You know, have you ever went to a revival? And maybe the first, I remember several revivals in my life that we would start out, and I'd feel kind of cold at the beginning of the revival, but by the time the end of the revival come, I was on fire. I mean, it was like I was alive, and it was like I was aware of God in my life because I had exercised the things of God inside of me by prayer and by praise and worship and hearing the Word of God, receiving. How many knows when you receive the Word of God, it's feeding your spiritual man? And because, see, just like with exercise, you got to have some nourishment. You know, and if you don't ever get the Word of God inside of you, if you don't ever hear the Word of God and you don't ever receive the Word of God, you'll get malnourished. You know, and so, but when you hear the Word of God, the Bible said that Jesus said that He feeds those that are hungry. He said, those that thirst after righteousness shall be fed. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be fed. And so when you're hungry for the things of God, He will feed your spirit man. But I remember I was thinking about when I first got saved. You know, and I actually backslid when I first got saved after about a year of serving God. And I had a tremendous experience with God. But because I neglected some things, and I started hanging around with some wrong people. How many knows that people that influence you can affect your spiritual life? And I started hanging around with people that started influencing me the wrong way. And I thought that it wasn't going to bother me because I was too strong. And so I went on, and the first thing you know, I started getting to where I didn't want to go to church. Or I'd go to church on Sunday morning, then I'd skip Wednesday night. I'd skip Sunday night. And then I'd go to church the next week. And then I'd skip service after that. And then it was just, I started getting further and further away. And then the first thing I know, you know, it's like, hey, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'm just not going to go to church at all. And so I quit going to church. And I for 4 years, my life went downhill. And I wasn't trying to serve God. And then I come back and I rededicated my life to God. Well, after my brother had a car accident, and I started serving him, and it scared me because I realized that I had backslid at one time, and I said, I don't ever want that to happen again. I said, Lord, show me whenever I'm starting to get cold so that I can get strong again. And so when I was serving the Lord all at once, when I'd start getting cold, it would just be like an alarm would go off on the inside of me, and it would say, it's time to pray, it's time to fast, it's time to get in the Word, it's time to go to a revival meeting, it's time to get... And when I would do that, all at once, my spirit man would get strong again, and it would rise up inside of me. And you know, and how many knows that the Bible says when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it builds up your inner man. The spirit man gets stronger when you start praying in the Holy Ghost. And so all these years ago, I mean, that's been 40 years ago, but every time I start feeling myself getting cold, all at once it's like a spiritual alarm goes off inside of me and says it's time to fast, it's time to pray. And you know what? When you start doing those things, you start feeling the presence of God. It's time to, you know, I couldn't tell you how many times I'd start on a fast, and by the time I got off of the fast, it was like I was aware of the presence of God. But I want you to look with me at a couple of other scriptures here. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 13 says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But notice that. He said have their senses exercised. They've used their spiritual senses. You know, how many knows if you're discerning things and you're sensing the presence of God, you're seeking after God, It's like you, over time, your senses will start getting sharper and sharper. You'll start, you know, like when you sit, you can tell when somebody's got a wrong spirit. You know, sometimes when I first got saved, I'd hear people get up and start testifying, and I couldn't tell the difference, you know, between a bad person or a good person. But, you know, after I'd been saved a while and I'd hear somebody talking, all at once I'd realize that something ain't right about this person. You know, they got a wrong spirit. You know, they got a rebellious spirit, or they got some kind of a bitter spirit, or a rejected spirit. You know, and I started noticing that because I used it. See, whatever you use, it'll get stronger. And how many knows that the Bible said the just shall live by faith? Did you know that we got to exercise our faith? You know, when you use your faith, you know, a lot of times we don't like to use our faith. We want to try to do everything we can except faith. I mean, it's like sometimes people would crawl on their knees for a mile before they'd trust God, you know, and try to do it their own self. But whenever you start trusting God, you're actually exercising the inner man. You're exercising the spiritual man the more that you use the faith of God in your life. And also, look with me in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Glory to God. So he said they exercised. And, you know, it's real easy for the enemy to distract people sometimes. As a matter of fact, you know, people, if somebody come up and said, you know, "Would you like some of these drugs?" We say, no, I don't do drugs. I don't do that kind of stuff. But see, if something come along to distract us that wasn't sin, we wouldn't think much about that. But if something comes and gets your attention and pulls your mind away from God, and I'll tell you something, it don't have to be good things. I mean, you can be distracted with problems and cares of this life. You can have so many things going on around you that it just distracts you, and all your attention is just trying to take care of these problems in life. But see, even in those problems, see, you can, that's where you can use your faith. Did you know when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when they was facing that fiery furnace, you know what they done? They exercised their faith. They said, "We're not going to bow down to this golden image." And because of it, it got them thrown in the fiery furnace. But the thing of it was, all those other people were bowing down to the golden image. But see, when you start living by faith, you're going to run into conflict. The devil's always going to show up and try to cause you to back down, or to bow down, or give in to something that you shouldn't give in to. But see, when you refuse to bow and you walk in the name of Jesus, you're going to see the glory of God. And also in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." But notice it said they had exercised covetous practices. See, like I said, we can either exercise the old man, the lust. You can develop your senses in the flesh through lust, or pride, or anger, or bitterness, or any of the things of the flesh, and it can get stronger in your life. Or you can make up your mind that, "Hey, I refuse to let the old man have power over my life. I'm going to walk after the Spirit of God." Look with me to... how many knows that if you really want to experience the presence of God, walk in the love of God. Walk in the love of God. In 1 John chapter 4, and what I'm talking about tonight, if you get in a place in your life, and it happens to all of us, where sometimes you start feeling cold, and the devil will lie to you. Whenever you get in a position where you feel cold in the Lord, the devil will say, God's mad at you. You know, you done messed up, you know, and you won't even know what you done. But he'll say, God's mad at you, or you know, whatever. But the thing of it is, this is what I found out. When you start exercising the things of God, you'll start feeling God. When you start exercising love, then you're going to start feeling the presence of God. Look with me in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, notice that. It says, no man has seen God at any time. And then it said, if we love one another, it said, then God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That means that if you on purpose start showing love to people, then people can see God in you. If you want to start feeling God, start practicing love. Loving people. Let love make your decisions for you. Let love make your everything that you do, let it be out of love towards God and towards people. And you know, like I said, whenever most of you's heard me tell the story that how that when I had appendicitis and I went in the hospital and almost died, and I got so cold in the Lord at that time, and I mean, this went on for several weeks, and I got appendicitis and I stayed in the hospital during Christmas, and I got this little book called The God Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon. And when I got this book, I mean, at this particular time, I didn't know what to do because I felt like that I was doing everything I could trying to feel God in my life, but it seemed like I couldn't feel God. And so I got this book, and I started reading this book, and when I started reading it, I said, you know what? I said, I've not really been doing what's in this book. And it was just telling you just to love people and to love God in everyday life. And so I said, I'm going to do what's in this book. And so I didn't really feel like it. I just started doing it. I just started acting it out. I just started walking in love toward everybody. And I mean, I was cold as I could be, but all at once I started noticing. I felt like that the presence of God started coming around me. I started feeling His presence more and more. And then I went back to work. And when I went back to work, I remember the first day on the job, it was about lunchtime, and I went up to get a drink of water. And when I did, all at once I felt the presence of God. And not only the presence of God, but I felt like angels was all around me. And when I did, all at once tears started streaming down my face. And when I was standing there, I was thinking, I got to tell somebody about this. I mean, I couldn't tell you how wonderful it felt. But the only thing that I did was doing what was in that book. I started practicing. I started exercising the love of God. I started putting it into practice. And then when I did, all at once the presence of God showed up in my life. And you know what? See, God hadn't left you, but whenever you start using the things that God's given you, that's when you will start feeling God. And the very first thing that we all must do is the love of God. If we start walking in the love of God first, then it's easier to have faith in God. But if you start trying to have faith in God, but you're not having the love of God, you're going to have trouble having faith. But when you start walking in the love of God, then you will sense God's presence. And as you know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells all the things that love does. And it said the greatest thing there is the love of God. And it said, but anyways, and also, how many knows you have to exercise authority over the devil? There have been many times the devil would be tormenting me or something going on, and I wouldn't do anything about it. And then all at once, God would just open my eyes and say, how long are you going to let this go on? And then when he would, something would rise up inside of me, and I'd start praying. I'd say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And it would leave. But see, the thing of it is, if we don't exercise the authority that God's given us, it don't do any good. You know, just like if we don't use the things God's given us, it won't do any good. And the gifts, and if God's called you to preach and teach, when you start teaching and preaching, you know what? It's going to make you feel closer to God. You're going to feel the presence of God more when you're exercising something that God's given you. How many knows that even just giving, when you give somebody some money or something and you sow a seed in somebody's life, you know what? A lot of times, it'll make you feel God. I couldn't tell you how many times that God would tell me to give some money to somebody, and when I would, all at once, I'd start feeling the presence of God because I obeyed God and also because that you let love motivate you into giving. I remember one time, Brother Al, he's passed away now, but I was at the church, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go get a plate lunch and take it to Al. And I thought, well, okay. So I went and got a plate lunch, and it was just a simple plate lunch. But see, when you obey God, it'll make you feel God more. It'll make you more aware of God. And so on the way down there, all at once, it was just like the presence of God just overwhelmed me, and tears started running down my face, and I started to realize that I was just so aware of the presence of God. But the thing of it is, if the devil can distract you, if he can distract you, and not only that, if we become familiar with the things of God, and this is one of the dangers of people that goes to church a lot. And the reason I say that is because there's a danger of not going to church. If you don't go to church, you can neglect the fellowship of the body. If you do go to church, if you're not careful, you can become familiar with church and then not get anything out of it. You can go to church and you can say, well, I'm here, let's sing two songs and go home. You know, Brother Scott is going to preach and so-and-so is going to testify, which y'all may not do it as bad here as they do some churches, but in some churches they get in that routine. And so you have to be careful about just going through the motions. And you sure have to be careful about not going to church. Because how many knows when you go to church and somebody testifies? Faith it inspires you when somebody testifies. I mean, there's this, the Bible talks about, he said that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so you can hear the word of God from somebody else speaking. You know, people used to say, I don't see what's any good going to church. I can be just as close to God here at home as I can church. But you don't get to hear the testimony. You don't get to have the fellowship. You don't get to feel the presence and the love from everybody. You know, and it just makes a difference. That's why it said, fail not to assemble yourselves together, and so much more as you see that day approaching. Because there's something about church that feeds you, that strengthens you. You know, but on the other hand, you can't let yourself just become familiar with church. And to where that, because see, the devil wants you to go through life not receiving the good out of life that you should be getting. How many knows that you can have a hard heart sometimes and have bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness in your heart, and it blocks you from receiving love? As a matter of fact, that's one of the tools the enemy uses against the church, is he tries to get you offended. He tries to get you hurt in some way so that you will not be able to receive the nourishment and the benefit that you need to receive when you go to church. And when you're not in church, when you're out in everyday life, if you get offended, and you know, because your heart only has one door on it, and you love people out of that heart and you love God out of that heart. And if you close that door towards people, you close it towards God too. And so be careful about becoming familiar with life and the things of God, because years ago I went down to Pensacola when that revival was going on, and that was one of the things the Lord showed me. They prayed for me and I fell out, and the Spirit of God came on me, and all at once I realized I had become familiar with church. And you know what? It upset my apple cart. And I started receiving the presence of God in my life again. Because, so we can't just go through a ritual, you know, but we need to come to church and get the good out of it. You know, the Bible talks about Jacob, that he got the honey out of the rock. How many would like to get the honey out of the rock? You know, You can get the good out of what you go through in life. But there's also a scripture that talks about that they won't even know when good comes. That you can be in a position in your life where that when good can come to you and you won't even see it. And so we want to be aware of the presence of God, and by just being sensing His presence and saying, God, I want to hear Your voice. And you know, that's something else. Did you know that you can exercise your spiritual senses by seeking to hear the voice of God? You can say, Lord, I just want to hear Your voice. And you know what? It's not going to be an audible voice that you're going to hear. It's going to be something on your inner man. It's going to tell you that you need to do this or you need to do that. Or it might just be a thought come to you, and you do it and you realize it was God talking to you. You know, and I never forget, you know, when we were at Faith Restoration, and I was going back a little far there at Livingston, but when we were at Faith Restoration a few years ago, and I was in that service, and I was just standing there, and I was saying, Lord, I just want to obey You tonight. I just want to hear Your voice. And I said, I'm going to hear the voice of God. I just made my mind up I was going to hear it. And I said, Lord, what do You want me to do? And He said, I want you to do a cartwheel. And I said, a cartwheel? I thought, this ain't God. This has got to be the devil. This just me thinking this crazy stuff, you know. So I just blocked it out. And then I said, Lord, what do You want me to do? And He said, do a cartwheel. And I thought, I know this ain't God. It can't be God. And so I just stood there. And then it just kept coming to me, do a cartwheel, do a cartwheel. But see, I was wanting to hear the voice of God. And so finally, after about 15 minutes of me arguing with the Lord, I said, well, maybe there's a reason why He wants me to do this. Maybe there's somebody going to get saved or something, you know. And so I just decided, I said, okay, here I go. And so then I tried to do a cartwheel, and I'm sure it was funny. And people started running all over the house and shouting and crying and everything, But I was looking, I thought, there's got to be more than just this for me to do a cartwheel, you know. I thought, well, that must not have been God told me to do that. So then when church was over with, this lady walks up to me that, you know, her son had passed away a few years before that, and she was really having a hard time. And she said, Lord, do You really hear My voice? And she said, if You really hear My voice, she said, tell Brother Brad to do something he don't normally do. And when she said that, she pointed her finger at me like that, and she said, tell Brother Brad to do something he don't normally do. And she said, I done a cartwheel. And so when she told me that, I said, thank You, Lord. I did hear from God. But see, the thing of it is, if you really want to hear from God, you can hear from God. But you just, the Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened, seek and you shall find, ask and you shall receive. And so see, but we have to exercise those things. We have to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I'm going to hear your voice. I'm going to praise you, Lord. And you know, I remember several years ago, I went to the hospital to see somebody. And when I went in there, I was just feeling kind of down in the dumps and I wasn't feeling real spiritual. And I went in and there was a guy in there and he started talking with me. And when he did, I started talking to him and I started witnessing to him. And I started telling him about the goodness of God. And I started telling him about all the things God had done. And you know what? I talked myself into being happy. Before it was over with, I was exhorting him and preaching to him. And I was just telling him what the Word said. And I was telling him what I'd experienced. And you know what? I started feeling the presence of God all over me when I was there. And so, see, sometimes we need to rehearse our past victories. Sometimes you need to rehearse the things and speak it out your mouth. Because when you start speaking it out your mouth, you start feeling what's coming out of there. Especially when you're telling somebody what God's wanting you to tell somebody. It just does something to you to witness and to tell somebody of the goodness of God. Neglect not the gift that's in you. Whatever gifts are there, don't neglect it. We've done covered some of that. Failing to pray. See, if the devil can cause us to not pray, there's a principle. How many knows that if you don't see somebody for about 20 years, sometimes you might not even remember their name. It's just there's a natural law of progression that if you don't see somebody, if you don't talk to nobody, you start forgetting that person. They start, you know, it's like they're not in your memories anymore. You don't start thinking, well, you know what? That's what the devil tries to do to the body of Christ. He tries to get us to neglect prayer. Of course, he knows we're not going to just forget about God tomorrow. But it's just that when you neglect prayer and you neglect the things of God, all at once the things of God will start getting further and further away from you, and your desire for the things of God will start going away. But when you start seeking after God and you start praying, you start talking to God, all at once the things of God, the desires of the Spirit will start getting stronger and stronger inside of you. And I remember when I first got saved and I was just studying and meditating in the Word of God day and night, taking a Bible to work with me, preaching to everybody I worked with on the job, everywhere. I mean, I was listening to the preaching tapes. When I'd come home, I wanted to go to revival. I mean, I was just so full of the Word of God. And so I remember that I was witnessing some of these guys out there on the job, and I guess I was a little bit excited, and I might have went a little bit overboard. But this one guy, I was witnessing to him, and we worked a half a day together. And I was witnessing to him the whole day, and I just kept telling him all the goodness of God. I mean, it was just pouring out of me. And this guy says, please don't tell me nothing else. I can't take another thing. I said, well, just one more thing, you know. And so this went on for till about lunchtime, and I finally backed off on him and gave him a little room. But you know what? Next weekend, he got saved. He come back to work. He said, Brad, he said, I went to church and I got saved. I said, praise God. You know, but see, he was fighting me the whole time, not wanting to hear what I had to say. Well, after that happened, I started thinking. I thought, man, I'd like to get a bunch of, because the people I work with, when I'd go start talking to them about Jesus, they'd run. I mean, they'd go the other way. When they seen me coming, they'd go the other way. And so I said, man, I wish that I could get a bunch of people together in one place, and where they were sinners and they couldn't get away from me, and where I could preach to them. And so then one day this friend of mine asked me to go to the jails with him. And I went to the jails that particular day, and there was two or three people got saved that Sunday. When I left, I was going home, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, and He said, you remember when you said you wanted to go somewhere where there was a bunch of sinners that couldn't get away from you? And I said, yeah. He said, I gave you the desires of your heart. He said, that's the jail. And I said, well, praise God, that's true. They can't get away from me, and most of them are sinners. You know? But the thing of it was, see, God wants to give, He wants to put a desire in your heart and then give it to you. And so when you start seeking after God and you start meditating in the Word and seeking God and praying and listening to tapes, all the things you can do that feed your spirit, the stronger you start getting, whatever God's put on the inside of you will start coming to the surface. If you've been called to preach, then it'll start coming to the surface. But if you start getting cold on God, whatever God's put in you will start being tamped down. You won't be aware of it as much. But the more that you get on fire for God, the more that anointing is going to rise up and you're going to realize it. You know, I remember, did you know that a tomato plant and a pot plant looks just alike when they're little? You can't tell the difference until they get bigger and they produce the fruit. And see, sometimes you can't really tell what something is until it starts producing fruit. And so that's why we need the plant that God's planted on the inside of us, we need to feed it and water it, and it'll start producing fruit. And that fruit will be the gifts and the anointings and the call of God in your life. But the thing of it is, don't let the devil cause you to neglect the things of God. Another thing, the enemy wants you to be offended. If he can get you offended, the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness spring it up and many be defiled thereby. If you let anger and bitterness get inside of you, it'll turn into bitterness and it'll cause you to be defiled. And so that's why we have to be careful. Did you know, I mean, I'm saying things that you already know. But when you're in a right spirit, you're going to love everybody. You're going to love God. You're going to have a right spirit. You're going to have a spirit of faith. But when you start getting in a wrong spirit, that's when you start getting bitter and having unforgiveness and stuff like that, it's not a right spirit. You can justify it. You can say, well, you know, these people done this to me or that person done that to me. I got a right to be this way. But the thing of it is, it hurts us more than it does them. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Yes.
Glory to God. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Glory to God. We just need some exercise. Glory to God. We just need to exercise our spiritual man. We need to exercise our faith. We need to exercise our love. We need to exercise our praise and worship. We need to exercise our witnessing and testifying to people. Because, did you know that it actually feeds you to do the will of God? Because Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, what meat do you have that we don't have? He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And so when you're doing the will of God, it's actually feeding you. When you're ministering to somebody and you're going to help somebody, or you're whatever, when you discern the will of God and you do it, it's going to feed you to do what the will of God is. And so it used to get me excited, and it still does. Whenever I know the will of God about something, if God tells me to do something, I get excited because I know that when I do this, it's going to feed me. It's going to cause me to be blessed because I know this is His will. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight.